track.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
Welcome to Saturdays on the Coast with Michael Buettner and Gary Birkinshaw on SEN Track.
Troyed. And you know what? It was, for me, you know, watching the game, it was suddenly the little men for the Dolphins. It was the seven. It was the six. Yeah. It was the one. It was the nine. Yeah. Now, their spine, you know, once things started to settle down a little bit, they were the ones that actually put it on. And, in fact, I think it was actually, it looks like it must have been eight tries in the second
half. Bo Stocks, the winger, scored a hat-trick. Try Fuller, filling in for the Hammer at fullback. He was outstanding, showed lightning pace. And we spoke about it off-air as well. We're talking about Terrell Sloan from the Dragons and the others. You need pace as a fullback now. You know, and if you've got that, he's got that in spades. Some of the tries that he scored, I think it was the last try they scored, might have been one that Tessie New scored. He actually kicked it twice.
Yes.
Grubber kicked it through, and then the second one, he missed it with his right leg.
And got it with his left leg. Yeah, it was amazing, amazing. And he was quick. And you know what, you think about the fullbacks in the game at the moment who are causing opposition teams discomfort, right? And it's those, you know, the Reece Walsh, it's the Kalen Ponga, it is, you know, that kid last night from the Dolphins, it is the Tyrell Sloan, who they've just got that X factor. Pappenhausen. Yeah. They just instill fear. When you go out the back to them and it's suddenly a 3-on-3 or a 3-on-2, they can make the 3-on-3 into a 3-on-2 just with their speed. And to scare that defender and, you know, leave him clutching, basically.
And then you throw on the top of that the athleticism and acrobatic work of our wingers now as well. Oh. Like, they don't need a lot of room now. You know, they just go out there. The one the Warriors scored last night out in the corner.
Dallin Watini Zalesniak.
He's the man.
Done it again.
Yeah, it was fantastic. You know, we've spoken about Xavier Coates. So they're just amazing. So if you can get that draw, that 3-on-3, it sometimes becomes a 3-on-2 just with their athleticism down the sideline.
Yeah. The AFL last night, well, Thursday night, we saw the Bulldogs 19-10-124 defeat St Kilda 9-10-64, a 60-point drubbing there to the Bulldogs. Friday night, Essendon, the Bombers 10-18-78 defeat Adelaide 7-9-75. Close battle there. We'll obviously talk AFL a little bit later on. Good news for Mariners fans. Yeah. With the Phoenix having a one-all draw with the Jets, that would be unlike the Newcastle Jets doing any favours to the Mariners, but they seem to have got the job done last night for them.
Yeah, the Phoenix missed a penalty in the 96th minute.
Oh, did they really? Missed a penalty.
Missed the penalty. They scored an own goal for the Jets.
Yeah.
Scored and then missed a penalty in the 96th minute.
Oh, dear.
So that's a good one there. So they still now 1 point ahead of the Mariners. The Mariners got a game in hand, but obviously their game tomorrow has been postponed, which we'll talk about that a bit later on as well.
Yeah, good. So we've got Matty Buettner who's going to come on and talk all things soccer, and there's plenty happening in the EPL as well as that title race draws near to the end of the season, but there is plenty happening there. Obviously, last week we were at Wyong Golf Course and... you know, what a course it was. Great to be there. And we're talking all things golf, including the Masters and Scotty Scheffler. Wow, he did it quite comfortably, didn't he?
Yeah, Ricky Schmidt predicted that.
He did.
Thought that was a great prediction. He was just so methodical on that last day. And just birdies 8, 9, 10, just to give himself that little break. Doesn't make mistakes. Adverg, who come runner-up, I reckon he only might play one poor shot in the whole last round.
Yep.
And it was on the 11th tee. He put it in the water, double bogeyed it, and that was the only bad shot he played. But when you're playing Scotty Scheffler, that he doesn't make those bad mistakes. And he got there and he just quite convincing in four shots.
You talk about that one mistake, but it was a costly mistake.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? To his credit, Scheffler, he shot 4 under in that last round. Right, that was the best score of the round.
Yep.
You know, the cream rises to the top, and this guy obviously can play the game. It's his second Masters in 3 years. John Rahm taking it out last year, but just an amazing performance. And he just continues to go from strength to strength. I think I heard prize money wise in the last month and a half or 2 months. It was something like $19 million that he had collected prize money.
He's won three of his last four tournaments and finished fifth in the other. And he's currently playing. He backs up straight away. He's playing in the Heritage Championships at the moment, where he's tied. I think he's tied for 10th at the moment. So another payday coming his way. He's only, I think he's four shots off the lead. So you're certainly not going to count him out of that one either.
No, he's still ready to go. And you know what? A great performance from the Aussies. Cam Smith finished tied sixth on two under. Cam Davis, who we spoke about on Saturday and where he was sitting, he was obviously up there early on in the piece, but he finished tied for 12th on one over. Minwoo Lee and Adam Scott tied for 22nd on four over, and Jason Day 30th on five over, shooting three under for the final round, which was the second best score of the day.
Yeah, it certainly was. We spoke, you know, at length last week about Tiger Woods after making the cut at a great second round. Unfortunately, was unable to recapture that magic over the weekend, and he shot 80. I think he shot 82. I think his highest ever score in the Masters in the third round, and 76 in the final round. So it's tougher for him now. He hardly plays anymore, Tiger Woods. But the second round he watched, the viewing for the Masters was the highest viewing of that whole event.
Yeah.
Of last weekend's. This year's Masters,
yep,
even got greater than the final day. Was the second day when Tiger Woods was playing.
So of course it was.
He just continues to move the needle.
Yes,
how they describe it. So.
Yeah. So, still freakish, the fact that he's out there after everything that he's gone through. But, you know, the fairy tale, I think we're all waiting for that fairy tale, whatever it may be, whatever tournament it will. It is. We're just hoping that it comes.
As unlikely as it sounds, you just feel it's going to happen.
It'd be great for golf if it did happen.
As unlikely it is, you just think it's going to happen because it's Tiger Woods.
Exactly right, mate. Yeah. Surfing news there, Molly Picklum into the quarterfinals of the Margaret River Pro. She continues to do her bit out on the circuit there, and obviously will be representing Australia at the Olympics, which is great news. And our text topic today, 0477 736 736. We're going to talk about the greatest sporting moments that you've seen live. Mm. Have you got one, Burgo, for me?
Certainly have a really good one. I'll go back to 2003. It's a cricket one again, the SCG test, where Steve Waugh was under plenty of pressure for his spot in the Australian side. Scores 100, hitting a four off the final ball against England, against Richard Dawson. It was great.
100% it was.
I was there with my son, Scott. We were right near the Australian dressing room gate as they go out in the ground. When the photos of the Telegraph, we were actually in the back as they were taking a photograph.
Is that
and
right?
Walking off, yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you still have the tickets from that day?
No, but I do have his red, because from the pink, day three of Pink Day.
Yeah.
So I've still got the scarf you bought from that day, from that particular year, 2003. The most funniest part, or the interesting part was this, is on this day, so everyone's there, Steve Waugh, you know, he's getting their 100, and he might need 10 runs or something to go. And there, I remember seeing a father talking to his kids and said, "Come on, kids, let's go. We'll go and beat the traffic home." And they would have been in the car park with Steve Waugh, one of the most iconic moments in sport.
Yeah, I'm never going to be critical of anybody doing that and leaving early because I left when Mark Coyne scored that miracle try in Origin just so I could miss the traffic. And anyway, my big moment was I was there when Michael O'Connor kicked that goal from the sideline in Origin back in 1991, I think it was.
In the rain?
In the rain, mate. I was there right behind the kick. I saw it swirling. As soon as he kicked it, I knew it was going over. It was just perfection. So that's one of my highlights. So your greatest sporting moment that you have witnessed live, I reckon they're going to come in thick and fast today. That text number 0477 736 736. We're here for Chemist Outlet. For discount medication, choose Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day. You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast, coming to you live from the Chemist Outlet store at Erina Heights. We'll be back shortly.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
Saturdays on the Coast, coming to you live from Chemist Outlet at Erina Heights. JP is the man in charge here. He owns this store here at Erina Heights and the one at Greenpoint, which we'll be at in a couple of weeks' time. We'll speak to him
throughout the show. We're really looking forward to it. He is a mad Parramatta supporter. In fact, he's that mad. He's got the Parramatta jersey on right now, considering the way they performed last night. Now, that's as mad as you can get, or as loyal as you can get, either or. Let's talk NRL, Burko. Thursday night, Storm versus the Roosters. Great rivalry these two teams have had, and probably didn't disappoint again. Probably not as high a standard. What I will say is Jerome Humes was outstanding. And he's been good for pretty much most of the games he's played with the Storm this year. His consistency level is outstanding for mine.
Yeah, look, I'll have to agree with you there, Butte. Sorry, the button wasn't on. Yeah, in that regard, I reckon he's had a fantastic season for that. And he was in everything on Thursday night. Interestingly enough, the five tries that were scored on Thursday night all come from kicks.
Yep.
And you probably argue that of the Storm's three tries, two of them had a couple of kicks in them. So they're probably, some were a little bit lucky, I suppose. But yeah, you create your own luck. There's certainly no doubt about that. But defence was very good. Not many too many line breaks. So they had to rely on the kicks. But the Melbourne Storm, they just keep getting it done again. Just scoring the last, 7 minutes. Xavier Coates had plenty of work to do.
Mate, I've got to say, I was watching the game up in Darwin, and I'm, there's 7 minutes to go, and I'm looking at where they were going or where they ended up on that fifth play, and I'm going, I don't understand why they're not going around the post there. And I thought they completely stuffed it, basically. Jerome Hughes put the kick across, and what was it? Joseph Manu around the post, tried to take the bomb and fumbled it. Harry Grant picks it up, puts a little grubber kick out to Xavier Coates, despite the fact that six again.
Yeah.
And Xavier Coates, like you said, had plenty of work to do and still got the job done, despite the fact he had big Jared Warrior Hargraves on his back.
Yeah.
He still had the strength to get across the line. So a mighty, mighty performance from the Melbourne Storm. These are the sort of wins, and we've seen it multiple times this year already from the Storm, right? That last minute, the last 10 minutes.
Yes.
They're like a good racehorse,
yeah,
right? They know where the finish post is, and they generally get there. And these are the make the difference between, where you're going to finish throughout the season, whether you make the eight, whether you make the top four, and quite possibly whether they end up becoming minor premiers, right, and get that, advantage through the final series.
Well, that's right. You finish top two and Melbourne end up with two finals down in Melbourne. That's a huge advantage. The Sydney side probably don't appreciate that as much of where you, if any, but if you're an interstate side, to have two finals, especially a preliminary final at home, is a huge advantage.
Yeah, there's some teams, and Parramatta being one of them, CommBank Stadium, they have got a very good record there, right? So suddenly you're going up to Northern Territory, you're taking a home game up to there, up to Darwin, right? And the last 3 years, they've lost up there.
Right.
Right? So you've got to weigh up this thing about the financial benefit as opposed to the benefit for your team in terms of not guaranteeing a win, but giving your team a better advantage or a better chance of winning. It's like, the West Tigers, playing at Leichhardt Oval.
Yeah.
Right? The record there is pretty impressive.
Yeah. You go to Campbelltown and it's not for sure. But that's the issue, I suppose. You've got those buttes, haven't you? You've got the accountant on one side trying to balance the books.
Yep.
You've got the coach on the other side trying to get the 2 points in the bank.
Yeah.
So as you're aboard, you're trying to balance that out, aren't you? And I think a lot of times, I think you'll find that if you're a side that's probably down the bottom half, you're probably going to take the money to go play in Darwin.
Yep.
But you don't see Melbourne or any of those sides, the Roosters, selling too many home games away.
No,
so
they appreciate and understand how important it is to have that home ground advantage.
Yeah.
The Friday night game, the first one, Dragons taking on the Warriors. Look, down in Wollongong, they are tough down there. Again, we talk about where teams play and where teams play well. The Dragons do well down there in Wollongong. And Warriors struggled clearly. Sean Johnson scoring an early try, where he basically walked through Wade Egan doing a fabulous job there. And but then it was all the Dragons, basically, from that point on until Dallin Martini's Selesniak scored in the 70th minute. But it was all due to, a good performance again from Zach Lomax. We've actually got some audio here of the St. George Illawarra tries. Or maybe we don't. I'm not sure.
Sam, is that one of the most mature performances from your side this year?
Oh, without a doubt. Most complete performance today. Went for 80 minutes. We had a you know, obviously they're a good footy team, so they had their moments and, you know, they got off to a good start, but we just hung in there and stayed in the process. So I was really pleased the way we just stuck to our guns and stuck to our plan.
That was Coach Shane Flanagan from the Dragons there. Happy with their performance, obviously, and, you know, that's two wins in a row from the Dragons. Moses Suli looked fast. He looked fit. Benny Hunt, again, always performing and performing well. But Zach Lomax kicks a 40-metre field goal just before halftime, the two-point field goal. Scores a try just after halftime, which is so Zach Lomax-esque in terms of the high kick he chases through. His timing is immaculate, right? His ability to run through, get the job done, and take the ball on the run like a thief in the night. And it's no fluke because he's done it so many times throughout the throughout his career. And, you know, throughout the week, and great news, Parramatta were really happy about it. He signed a four-year deal with them.
And the other player who was huge for the Dragons last night was Ben Murdoch-Masaila. Just absolutely just tore through them. The yardage that he made through the ruck was, he was just a real handful for the Warriors forwards, which not many forwards get on top of the Warrior pack. They're a big pack, the Warriors, but he was enormous last night and got the Dragons on the front foot, which enabled Ben Hunt, Flanagan, Lomax and Sloan to really do their work from being on the front foot, which made a big difference.
He's a big body, he's aggressive, he's, yeah. And when he's on, you know, it's like a Tevita Pangai Jr.
Yes.
Right? It's like a Joe Offengawi. Like they are David Fifita from the Titans. Yeah. They're just big humans, and when they are on, they're almost impossible to stop.
You could argue they're not on enough.
100%. I was just thinking the same thing. They are not on enough.
But when they are, like he just bent that line and he was making breaks. And you know what? And if you've got good halves, well, no halves can operate if they're playing behind a beaten pack. But if you've got that real go-ahead through the forwards, you really can control the game. And that's what happened last night. And the Dragons just look really, really good with the ball. But I think you could argue all year, though, Butes, the Dragons have looked pretty good in attack. They've been able to score points. That hasn't been a problem for them. Probably trying to stop them scoring points. And the Sean Johnson try just strolled over from as you said, Wade Egan, good work out, dummy half. And they had another couple of chances early on where, you know, the Dragons held out their defence, which was good. But in the past, their defence hasn't been able to do that. And they've had, you know, the games they've lost by big margins. But they look good. That's three wins in four that you've actually mentioned now and on 8 points. So
they're four out of three. And, you know, if I'm looking at the top eight right now, right, we've got Storm, Dolphins, Sharks, Raiders, Cowboys, Panthers, Dragons, Sea Eagles. There are a lot of teams that aren't featuring there that a lot of people would have put it in their top eight. Namely, the Broncos. Namely, probably the Warriors. I dare say some people probably stupidly would have put the Rabbitohs in there.
Yeah, the Roosters.
Roosters. Right, and of course the Eels, the Knights. Like it's a tight competition at the moment. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to talk about the Eels versus Dolphins game after the news. We're here for Chemist Outlet, for discount medication. Choose Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day. We're going to be back just after this news with JP from Chemist Outlet. Did you watch the game last night? You saw it? Okay. We're back on. Here we go. Get him on.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
Welcome back. Saturdays on the Coast coming to you live from Chemist Outlet, Erina Heights store. We have the man who runs the store, JP. JP, welcome and thank you for having us here.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Here we go.
It's a pleasure to have you guys.
Not a great result last night for the Eels. I was up at the game myself. And I'm going to put to you at some stage, and you're going to have time to think about this, but our text topic for today on 0477 736 736 is the greatest sporting moment that you have witnessed live. Burke, you've got a couple there, I think, from our listeners that have indicated some of their magic moments.
Yeah, we've got one that's come. This has come up couple there, and a lot of people there. There's about 100,000 people there. That was Cathy Freeman winning the 400 metres at the Sydney Olympics, I think. That's an iconic moment. We had that as a text topic a month or so ago, and she was certainly very
popular there. But that was pretty popular. I've got also got another one here, Butte. This is a bit from left field. This is from Wall. This goes all the way back to 1990 in Toronto, WrestleMania 6.
Who wrestled?
The Ultimate Warrior. Said all the big name wrestlers. The Ultimate Warrior defeated Hulk Hogan in a winner-take-all match. It was Hogan's first loss in 6 years.
Do you remember the swimming coach? Is it Titness?
Oh, yeah.
He was the same thing. And that's what the Ultimate Warrior did on the ropes, remember?
That's right. Dean Boxall.
Yeah, that's him.
But interesting enough, so Wall I know really well, and he's been to all major sporting venues, been a lot of great sporting events, and he reckons wrestling is the number one sporting event to see live.
It is brilliant. I've gone to the wrestling down with my... Well, I took my sons with me, but I really wanted to go. Because, JP, do you like the wrestling or what?
Oh, look, I used to. It's been a long time since I've watched it.
Yeah.
Mostly focused on footy these days.
It's funny because on my Facebook now, I'm starting... Well, clearly because I'm actually watching the things. But WWE keeps popping up and I'm seeing all these old reclips and I'm going, how good is this? Like, it's only about 4 or 5 minutes, but I'm loving it. Just going, oh, get me out there.
It was so good. It was the event back in the day.
The Rock, Stone Cold, Hulk Hogan, obviously. Like, he was the king.
So, JP, you got a Parramatta jumper on there.
I do.
Thanks very much for having us here. Where's the Parramatta link come from? What got you involved with Parramatta?
My dad he lived in Parramatta for a long time, and he's been a long-time Parramatta supporter, and, it's come down through me as well.
A long-suffering.
Yes, but, the way the team is now, Brad Arthur's done a great job at getting the team where it is. We've got excellent players. They didn't get the win last night, but there's a lot of talent in that group, and I think just an extra 5% from everyone in the team, I think will go a long way, making finals. So,
well, I think Brad Arthur might be looking for a little bit more than 5%. Based on what he said last night at the press conference, we've got that. Benny's going to play it for us right now.
Probably what's wrong with our season is we're a part-time footy team at the moment. We pick and choose when we want to play. We pick and choose in the 80 minutes when we want to make a tough choice or a soft choice. Yeah, because that second half wasn't good enough.
He's exactly right. That second half wasn't good enough. They were leading 10-4, right, with 30 minutes left to play. Within 8 minutes, the game changed. The Dolphins were able to score 4 tries in that period.
Yep.
JP, you must have been having a heart attack.
Yeah, it was hard to watch.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It was hard to watch. And I think it was they just switched off for that, 15-minute period, and it really cost them. But I think, they can work on it. They'll review, and I think it's better that it's happened now, earlier in the season, and I think they won't let it happen again.
For me, the biggest thing, and I said this last night to some of the, the board that were there, and again, I'm up there with 70, 80 sponsors, supporters that are up there that paid a lot of money to be up there and be a part of the team, et cetera, et cetera. Right?
Yep.
So they were that deflated. Like, it was, again, you forget when you're playing or when you've been a part of that environment how passionate people are about their, their team and their, their support for their team.
Yeah. Do you think the conditions made it difficult? Is there any excuse in that? Because it was hot, humidity was high.
You know what? Because it was hot for the Dolphins as well. And I'm telling you, the thing that disappointed me most of all was how quickly they threw in the towel, right? That the first try in the 50th minute to Tessie New, then the immediate set after that, full of scores. That was it. And the score was only 16-10 then, right? It's only 16-10. You're down by six. Mm-hmm. But they just went like tissue paper after that.
Brad Arthur said that in his press conference. We didn't get a grab of that, but he actually mentioned in that is that rugby league nowadays, you have to turn up and play every tackle in every set. You can't fall asleep on anything. Otherwise, it's just the standard of the competition now is that if you fall asleep on one tackle, they're through it. They scored on 4 consecutive sets.
Yep.
It is the hardest thing to change, and I promise you, I don't think any coach in the game has worked out the formula yet. How do you change momentum? How do you stop the avalanche? How can I get my team back into the game when we have conceded 2 tries in 2 minutes, we've conceded 3 tries in 6 minutes, oh my God, we've conceded 4 tries in 8 minutes. The game is gone by then. You have to pull something out after that second try that your team knows how to respond, how to react, and how to do what they've got to do to get back in the game.
And AFL is very similar. You talk to coach about momentum. In the old days, you probably put on a stink.
Yep.
You're trying to that. If you spoke to the coaches and asked the coaches, one thing they'd like to see introduced into the game would be, and they have it in basketball, is timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
So if things aren't going your way, bang, we call a timeout. Interestingly enough, in the AFL, there's a game where the Giants played St Kilda last week down in Canberra.
Yep.
And one of the Giants players got knocked out. So if we can catch that, there's a 10-minute break while they had to look after him and get him off the ground. So the coach went down to the boundary line, called all his players over to the boundary line, was able to have a reset in game, which you don't normally get that opportunity to do that. But you're right, momentum is huge nowadays, and how you actually stop it, it's very hard. So, JP, back to you. Central Coast, how long have you been on the Central Coast?
About 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, come down here with the store?
Yeah, so originally I was managing Chemist Outlet Greenpoint. So I've taken over that store about 2 years ago, and I've taken over the Chemist Outlet Erina Heights store about a year and a half. So yeah, it's been about 4 to 5 years.
And how's the store been here? What sets it apart from the other ones?
Look, you get to know the customers really well. Mm-hmm. They're all locals, all really friendly, and they're just looking for advice and service. And I think we provide that here, and they enjoy coming back. So.
And similar, we're going to be at the Greenpoint store in a couple
absolutely.
Of weeks' time. And you said they're all mad footy heads out there.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of footy talk during the day.
Yeah.
A lot of footy talk. A lot of supporters, a lot of Eel supporters around Greenpoint. So there's a lot of good banter that comes out. I work with a lot of Rabbits and a Cronulla supporter and Manly. So I get plenty of stick,
Rabbits
but
I'll
give it back.
Rabbits are big up here, I've got to say. Yeah. I remember coming up here and playing... trial matches up here, and the Rabbitohs were everywhere. Rabbitohs supporters were everywhere. Mate, the signing of Zach Lomax for Parramatta, 2025
exciting.
And beyond. Like, he's it's funny, he's got the number 2 jersey. Well, last night he played in number 4, but he's had the number 2 jersey, probably playing as good as he has played in a while, consistently anyway. Mm. And he's decided to walk away from an $800,000 contract to pick up a 650. But I don't know whether obviously there's reasons in and around that, but only he will know. But it's a great signing for the Eels.
Look, it's a very exciting signing. Always good to add talent to the team. I think they built a really good culture at the Eels. I mean, it's not reflecting in the results so far, but I think injuries have played their part, and they're just finding out a lot about themselves at the moment, the Eels. So.
And I think you also need to keep in perspective with the Eels at the moment is that Mitchell Moses is not playing.
Yep.
So if you take the best player out of most sides, is that it's very hard, especially your playmaker, it's very, very hard to continue to get good results.
This is where, I look at a club like Penrith. This is where I look at a club like Melbourne. And to a lesser extent now, but in the past, the Roosters, where their systems are in place... Right, that you take a player out, and we've seen it with Parramatta this year. Right, they had Cleary, Liam Martin, and Fisher Harris out. They still get the job done. Like, you're talking the best halfback in the world. You're talking the best front rower in the world, and probably the top 5 back rower in the world, and they're still able to produce. Like, it is just amazing that those systems that they have in place, they're able to still maintain and get the job done. And that, for me, is probably the big difference. And it may come down to depth, right, in terms of your roster. And it also comes down to, having those players the ability to actually bring the right player in to play that role.
But in saying that, though, Buge, 2 weeks ago, they did get beat by Manly, though. Penrith got beat quite comfortably by Manly without them. So,
And let me tell you this, that if I've got a system over the last... If I look at their system and the way they play... I'm going to take an 85% to 90% success rate based on that, because they are going to slip up at some stage.
But a lot of your system is driven by your key player, though, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, like when you're, especially if you're a side on the rise, and Parramatta made the grand final, 2 years ago?
Yep, 2022.
And that was on the back of a very Mitchell Moses was on fire. So yep. He was good. So he's such a pivotal part. And they've got a lot of youngsters coming through. Dylan Brown is his halfback partner. Probably, the thing with Dylan Brown, I don't think he's really stepped up when Moses hasn't played. And I think he's still learning. That is on decent money to do that. So it's a good opportunity for him.
Look at your spine at Parramatta at the moment, yep. Right? Dylan Brown, not a big talker. No. Look, good player, but yep. Not a big talker, right? Dejan Arce,
yep.
Dejan Arce, right, okay. He's new kid coming in. Hasn't got a big voice about him.
Yep.
You've got Gutho at the back,
yep.
Right? Who, you know, will talk forever and a day. He yep. can talk while he's swimming, apparently. And the other kid, Lussick, who's, you know, he's not, hasn't played a lot of first grade as such. Like, he's below, he's well and truly below.
Oh, Talagi. Blake Talagi, the young.
You got Talagi, but,
yep.
but your hooker there,
yep,
Lussick.
Yep, Lussick, yep.
Right?
Yep.
He's played 20 to 40 games, yep. Right? So yep. there's not a lot of experience in that that spine there compared to, you know, let's look at, the Melbourne Storm or let's look at
yeah.
Penrith, right?
Yeah.
That there tells you a lot about where yep. they're at. Mate, we're going to have to take a quick break. We're here for Chemist Outlet for discount medication. Choose Chemist Outlet. Outlet price every day. Can you stay with us, JP?
Sure can.
Mate, you are the third wheel. You're doing a great job. We'll be back. You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast coming to you live. From Chemist Outlet, Erina Heights.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track. You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
Welcome back. Saturdays on the Coast coming to you live from Chemist Outlet, Erina Heights. JP, our owner here, who is a keen Parramatta. I said it earlier, mate, you're a mad Parramatta supporter, and it's clearly evident today that you are mad because you're wearing the jersey today, but you're very, very loyal, which I love,
yep.
Despite their performance last night. Our text topic on 0477 736 736 is the greatest sporting moment that you have witnessed live. I mentioned the Michael O'Connor kick in Origin. I was also at the 2000 Olympics and saw Maurice Greene win the 100-metre final. Mm. Fortunately enough for me, I also had a friend of mine who looked after his accommodation. So I got a photo signed. So I've got the ticket from the day, the little badge from the Olympics, and a signed photo of Maurice Greene crossing the line with his finger in the air.
How good.
It is one of my great memorabilia pieces. Very proud of. JP, mate, what do you got, mate? What's your greatest moment that you attended live?
Okay, so the greatest moment, I'm going to stick with the Eels. It was the 09 Grand Final, and it was Fui Fui Moi Moi bulldozing the Melbourne players on his way to the try line. It sticks in my memory. It was a pretty heroic moment.
That got him within
that game.
That got him within striking distance,
yes,
isn't it?
It did.
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah,
it got
yeah.
them pretty close, and it's just unlucky not to win that year, but it's a pretty good moment.
What was the year where for a Parramatta supporter where Jared Hayne got the Newcastle Grand Final? He had that just that run that they played.
2009.
The Hayne plane.
2009 when he was on. He was absolutely on fire. It was. Yeah.
If you went to any of those games that he was playing, he was electrifying.
It was Turbo Trbojevic-like in terms of the way he was going about his business and deservedly won that Dally M well and truly. You got a couple more there for us?
I've got an interesting one. It's looking a little bit different. This one's from the skipper. And this is the Bulldogs kicking a penalty goal after being held scoreless the previous two matches in 2021. So round two and round three in 2021, the Bulldogs hadn't scored and he was there and they finally kicked a penalty goal. So that was a highlight. So it's just some of the things you think about. Also one, Diggs from DY. He was at the 2019 Masters Golf on day four where Tiger Woods had his amazing victory.
Oh.
Now, being at the Masters full stop would be an amazing experience. Then to do it there when Tiger Woods...
I'm glad you mentioned that because I was hoping that one of our listeners would have been able to go to the Masters after what happened last week, and I thought, could I make something up to pretend that someone did? But I didn't have to because Diggs from DY, he was there in 2009. So
he said it's so amazing.
That's a pretty amazing moment there.
Interesting you mentioned this, Butch. This is topic you've come up with, it has gone berserk, the text line. It is unbelievable how we're going. Hopefully we'll get a chance to read some more out very shortly.
But there's so many amazing moments, but there's ones that you just go, oh, I was there. I actually saw that. And amazing, amazing, amazing. JP, we're going to come back after this break. You're going to tell us a little bit about in store here, and what the customers can expect, what specials are going on, what they can be looking for, et cetera, and what services you provide. You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast, coming to you live from Chemist Outlet Store at Erina Heights. For discount medication, choose Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day. Saturdays on the Coast. We'll be back shortly.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
Yes, very similar.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
Just heading into the end of the first hour, coming to you live from Chemist Outlet, Erina Heights. We have JP, the man behind the store. He runs this store here and the one at Green Point. JP, give us a bit of an insight what the store has to offer.
Absolutely. So we're situated on the entrance road next to the IGA. There's plenty of parking here. We offer great service. We do blood pressure checks, medication reviews, leave certificates. We've got some great sales going on at the moment on all major brands. Bioglen, Blackmores, Nature's Way, Ethical Nutrients. So all the brands that people know and love are on sale at the moment. So there's plenty of offer in the store.
And perfume.
Yes,
there is plenty.
We've got perfume
aftershave.
We've got some really good perfumes here as well. So we've got some great giftware as well. Oh. Brands like Moore. We've got Natio. We've got L'Oreal. DB, so we've got a lot of good cosmetic brands here, so there's plenty of stuff for giftware, if you need.
Your one-stop shop.
Absolutely.
Which is all people need, mate. Well, mate, thank you for taking the time to come on the show. Thank you for talking about the Eels. I know that might have been hard to do, but again, I love your loyalty and the passion, and you just put the win behind you, we move on to next week. And it's not going to be an easy one because it's Manly at Brookvale Oval.
No, there's a lot riding on it.
Yes, there is.
There is a lot riding
there
on this
one. There is, there is.
So thank you very much for having me on the show, guys. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Good on you, mate. Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
We're into the second hour. Saturdays on the Coast coming to you live from Chemist Outlet, Erina Heights. JP, our man who runs the store, joined us in the last hour. We talked all things NRL. We've got AFL action coming up with Burko with his AFL wrap. We've got Matty Buettner coming up very shortly, who's going to cover all things soccer. But some of the big highlights throughout the week, and when I say highlights, I'm talking big names in their respective sports. Kelly Slater at the Margaret River competition there. It's pending, is it? His retirement? The 52-year-old, 11-time world champion.
So in the World Surfing League, after the Margaret River event, they do the cut to continue. The top go through to continue the rest of the surf league. The rest go into qualifying. So Kelly Slater didn't make it through the cut, so he's actually he's going to retire anyway. He hopes to get a wild card into the Fiji event in August to be his final event. But
I saw them cheering him up the stairs there at the Margaret River there. I think we've got some audio there from Ben in the studio.
It's been the best times of my life, and couldn't quite pull a miracle off this week, but you know, I pulled a few off over the years, and I still had that hope out there, you know. I was like, oh, one might pop up with a minute to go. So
yeah, well, there you go. He's the GOAT. Yep. There is no other word for it. He's just amazing, and it'd be a sad day for surfing, but also, I guess, a day to be remembered for, you know, everything that he's done in the sport, just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Speaking of goats, Butch, the goat of clay court tennis, Rafael Nadal, said farewell to the Barcelona Open. During the week, he lost his round two match against the Australian Alex de Minaur. 12 times he's actually won the Barcelona Open, so he's on his farewell tour. French Open coming up. He's battling injury at the moment, so he's on his last leg. But what a fantastic player he's been. I think we've even got a grab from Rafa as well.
Well played, Alex de Minaur. And if it is to be, farewell Rafa Nadal and goodbye Barcelona. Everyone will remember the man who's won 12 titles here.
22 Grand Slam titles.
Yeah.
12, what is it? 12 times at the French Open?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously. And you know what, again, you know, he's part of that big three that we refer to. You know, the Rafa, Djokovic and Federer.
Yeah. We're nearly down to one.
We're nearly down to one. Yeah, the joker.
And even he's struggling a little bit with injury at the moment as well. So opportunities coming up with the Grand Slams. You've got the French Open, Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Can we crown?
It's certainly an end of what has been a mighty era in tennis in terms of – and I don't think we've seen anything like this before where it's been three players that have absolutely dominated – the world tennis circuit,
and still dominating in their mid-30s.
Yes.
That was the you know, obscure thing, amazing thing, is that they, even in their 30s, no one's challenging in their mid-30s.
Yeah,
you know, at the end of their career, and challenging at the moment, no one's challenging Scottie Scheffler on the golf tournament at the moment as well.
He fired 4 under in the last round of the Masters, taking out his second title at Augusta in the last 3 years. Just an amazing performance, and again, we've got a grab there from his performance at the Masters.
His stardom confirmed. His mother, Diane, his father, Scott. See, two of his sisters are here, Sarah and Molly. Callie, his oldest sister, is not here. He doesn't want to make the walk alone this time.
I love the I love everything about the Masters.
The
only thing that is really awkward is the presentation. The green jacket. They're all in that little room.
Butler's cabin.
Oh, is that what it is? You know what? I've got a lot of time for tradition.
Yeah.
But that's probably one thing that they could change about it. Because there's so much that is good about that. Actually, there's so much that is great about that tournament.
Butch, you did not change.
No, you're correct.
The Masters, mate. You did not change.
I'm sure that if there was a little suggestion box, right, that would be the number one suggestion.
Yeah.
And they just dismiss it every year.
And you know where they've got that suggestion box, don't you? They've got it in the middle. You know, you go on the 12th, the par three. There's a pond at the front.
Gotcha.
The suggestion box is in the middle of that pond. That's where that is.
I'm hearing you, mate.
But he was superb. Another great tournament. Full credit to him. It was fantastic. I love the weather conditions. I love that it got real windy on day two, which really dried the greens out, day two and day three, which really made a real test for golf. And then the conditions were already difficult enough, but then the wind died down on day four, so we got some really good golf in. And I think 1,100 might have been the winning score, which is a good golf. It's not the 2,200 is what they used to on the PGA Tour. So it's a real test of golf. And the best always normally come to the fore, and you look at the leaderboard, another really... talent-packed leaderboard. So.
Yeah, it certainly was. And, you know, well done to our Aussies. Cam Smith tied 6th. Cam Davis tied 12th. Minwoo Lee and Adam Scott tied 22nd. And Jason Day 30th with a 5-over, but shot 3 under par on the final round. So really good performances all round from the Aussies. And, you know, again, it never disappoints the Masters. And that's why we love it so much. Joseph Manu.
Yes.
Thinking about signing with Rugby Union, or has signed?
Not thinking about it, has done it. So the 1 year contract with Japanese rugby. It'd be interesting to see for that, because I believe the Japanese rugby season concludes halfway through the NRL season.
Mm-hmm.
So where the opportunity there for him to come back. I'm sure he'd do it for more than than 1 year, though. I don't think he'd just go over there for 1 year. Although the pay packet for 1 year would be quite significant. Not that he'd be on no money at the Roosters either. He'd be on good coin there as well. But it's a challenge, I think. I think they like the challenge. And he said he'd like to actually, I think he's got a young family, just to travel with the young family, live overseas and try that. So good on him. They big loss for the Roosters, though, because they used Joseph Suaalii as well.
Yeah, he's going off to 100%. And you know what, on the back of Joseph Manu's game last week, where he's 370 metres, 30-odd runs, like, you know what, you compare the output from Joseph Manu as a fullback, you compare to Latrell Mitchell as a fullback, it is chalk and cheese, and probably one of the reasons why the Rabbitohs are sitting where they are. Mate, we're going to go to soccer news.
Just one big thing on rugby league, from a local perspective, which is fantastic news. Ethan Strange, local boy, signed through to the Raiders till 2028. So he's playing exceptional football in really his first year. I know he's made his debut at the end of last year, but he's really making that 5-8 position at the Raiders, and he's really stepping up. He actually generated that final play to enable the Raiders to kick that 100% field goal in Golden Point. He actually went round
down the short side.
Yep, and he did that and set him up. So he's playing exceptional football, and they rewarded him that with a 2028 contract signing. So that's done to him.
Big contract for him. Mate, we're going to talk all things soccer. We've got Matty Buettner on the line. Matt, are you there, mate?
Yes, good morning, boys. How are we?
We are fantastic, mate. We're coming to you live from Chemist Outlet at Erin Heights. So all things happening here, mate. But plenty happening, especially last night, Matt. Good news for Mariners supporters. The Jets doing them a favour by having a draw with the Wellington Phoenix. So with the game in hand, the Mariners are only 1 point behind. So very handy for the Mariners.
Yeah, it was a big result last night, actually. I went to the game with a mate of mine and watched the Jets, who actually could have stole all 3 points off Wellington. It's a tough game for Wellington to come down at McDonald Jones Stadium. But, yeah, the control's in the Mariners' hands now, which is great. They've got the game in hand, of course. The game this weekend's postponed, I believe, against Adelaide. But, yeah, the Jets for the final round, round 26, the F3 Derby, which will be a cracker. So hopefully the Mariners can do it over. Wellington actually had a penalty in the last 30 seconds, which was missed. That was great for Mariners fans, and hopefully they can go back-to-back premierships.
Look, we've spoken about it for the last couple of weeks. They control their own destiny now.
Yes.
Right? And one thing I do know is that despite the fact of where the Jets are sitting, it makes no difference when it comes to an F3 derby who's ahead of who, that they will be doing their damn best to try and spoil the party for the Mariners. I have no doubt about that.
And Matt, you said that game was up at McDonald Jones Stadium, that final round?
Yes, correct.
Well, that'll be their final game. They'll have a good crowd there for the derby, so there'll be plenty riding on that. But the Mariners during the week, Matt, had in their first leg of the AFC Cup, won all with Abdish Atta in Kyrgyzstan. They're actually stuck over in Kyrgyzstan at the moment, doing a bit of sightseeing I saw on the social during the week during the flooding at Dubai, which forced the postponement at Adelaide United. So the second leg will be played on that, and this Wednesday at Industry Stadium. So obviously the advantage should go back to them being able to draw away from home, so have the home ground advantage. Hopefully they'll get through to the final.
Yeah, they've been strong at home, of course. If you look at their previous results in the AFC Cup, they can jag a result, get a point away. But they've always looked very strong when they have that second leg at home. And I think, playing on home turf with a home crowd, I have no doubt they'll get the points and continue their AFC Cup run. And, of course, with the league being so tight as well in the A-League, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I think Mark Jackson's doing a great job just taking game by game and making sure that, their boys are ready to take on whatever job they have to do. And, confident they'll continue their run. And, just to rest the legs over this weekend and prepare for that midweek next week, I think it's great.
With the A-League guys doing so well, the women are following in their footsteps, and a strong performance down in Melbourne in a quarter-final performance. They obviously nil all through in regular time, but went into penalty shootout. They won that 4-2, which now gets them playing the first leg of the semi-final against Sydney FC on Sunday. In fact, there's a double header, I believe, at Industry
Oh, it's not a doubleheader now because it actually got the men got postponed. So it was going to be a doubleheader.
Right, okay.
So the women, it's been brought forward to 3 p.m. now. So
yeah, fantastic. So they're the main event.
Exactly.
Oh,
so.
Look, you know, if you're a Mariner supporter, get along and support these girls. They've done a great job this season. So they take on Sydney FC, the second leg next Saturday. Newcastle Jets take on Melbourne City after they beat Western United 4-2 in the other semi-final. So the F3 teams are doing extremely well, but get behind our girls.
The interesting one with that one, Butte and Matt, is that Kasia Jamont was obviously the star for the Mariners in goal, saved the penalties, but she also went down the other end and scored one of the penalties. So very rare that you get the keeper to go down and take one, but she's she was a star and she's had a fantastic season. She will be pivotal again over the next two weekends, obviously, as they look to make the final in what is their first year.
Yeah, fantastic effort from the girls. Fantastic effort and well done to them. Hopefully we can get somebody next week, one of the coaches or someone involved in the club there. Matt, Champions League, Arsenal and Man City knocked out by some of the big guns, Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, who will now meet in the semi-final.
Yeah, I think, that's all the English clubs knocked out now, which is interesting.
Yep.
I think from a club's point of view, the Champions League is the biggest thing to win you can get as a club. So all their attention was obviously put into those games. But yeah, both teams knocked out, and now I guess their attention is just all towards the Premier League race. A couple of results over in the Champions League as well. PSG knocking out Barcelona, which was... Yeah, a crazy second leg game there, coming back from the death. And, even Liverpool in the Europa League knocked out overnight as well in aggregate 3-1. So those top three teams in the Premier League have now got only one thing to focus on, which is the Premier League race. So no European football for them.
It's interesting with that, Matt, because last week we saw a couple of upsets in the EPL where clearly those teams had other focuses or other areas that they were focusing on. But it'll be interesting to see what those losses mean for Arsenal and Liverpool when it comes to the EPL Premiership now, when you consider Man City sitting on 73 points, Arsenal and Liverpool on 71, only 2 points behind, and Aston Villa 63 with Tottenham. Tottenham have got a tough run. They play, obviously, I think they play most of the top three sides if they haven't already played one of them.
Yeah, well, the thing with Tottenham, though, is because of the Champions League and the FA Cup, which is also tonight, is that they've got to play over a period of space of 8 days. Tottenham's got to play Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool over a period of 8 days. So that's if they can make the top four with that, they've certainly deserved it. And obviously, the results during the week with the two English sides getting knocked out of the Champions League, I think Liverpool and one other side got knocked out of the Europa Cup as well, as their chances of getting that fifth automatic spot into the Champions League next year would nearly almost be gone. So Tottenham and Ange, for them to get into the European Champions League next year, they're going to need to finish in the top four. So they've got a tough run in. They've had a good year, so we'll follow that with interest.
Matt, how do you see the EPL playing out? Do you think Man City, with their experience and what they managed to do last year, knowing where they've been in this situation before, do you think they're positioned where they want to be right now?
Well, yeah, thinking with my head and not my heart, of course, an Arsenal fan, I think Man City have got the quality all around the pitch. They've been in this position so many times before, and so many times before they've gone on to win it. I think they've won 3 out of the last 4 or maybe 4 out of the last 5 years, Premier League. So it's nothing new for the players there. They know what they need to do. And yeah, with being out of the Champions League, of course, that was a focus for them, being treble winners last season. But yeah, all their focus can go straight into the Premier League now. And look, I won't be surprised if Man City go on to take it out. But wow, I'd love to see Liverpool put in a good chase with the last year from their coach, as well as Arsenal. They haven't won a Champions League Premier League title for 20-odd years now. So I just want it to be a good race. I think Man City... they're in the position of control right now, and rarely do they, drop points.
Yeah, I can't see Man City getting beat from here. I think they've just got the experience, but that's their only sole focus. Admittedly, they're still in the FA Cup. The semi-finals are on are on this weekend, and they're playing Chelsea. Coventry playing Man U in the other semi-final. So, but I think the EPL championship would be what they'll be focusing on now.
Sorry, just on that, the FA Cup, Coventry, they're not in the EPL.
No.
So we're a big chance of actually seeing a Manchester derby in the FA Cup final, which would be enormous, I would imagine.
Oh, it'd be huge at Wembley.
Especially
with United, they're out. They're struggling to make it to Europe, so this will be their big opportunity.
Yeah, amazing. Hey, Matt, thanks for your wrap, mate. Really appreciate it, mate, on short notice. A comprehensive, as per usual. Glad you got to the game last night, buddy. And look forward to catching up with you over the next couple of weeks as we get closer to the finals for the A-League. And, of course, the EPL race continues with some 7 or 8 games to go.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Matthew Buettner there, our soccer expert. We're coming to you live from Chemist Outlet on the Central Coast Highway at Heron Heights. We're going to take a quick break. For discount medication, choose Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day. You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast, coming to you live.
Full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
Yep, we're back now. Chemist Outlet, Erina Heights, JP, our man, the Parramatta supporter. I chatted to him earlier about their performance last night, which wasn't great, especially in that second half. We've got AFL wrap coming up shortly with Burko, but we're going to go to Buett's top three. Let's hit it, Benny.
Buett's top three.
Or we'll call it Buett's top three.
Love
what do you?
It, mate.
You love it. Yeah, of course
I
you would.
I absolutely love
of
that.
Of course you would. You know, honest mistake from somebody.
Good. Clearly. Good.
No, let's run with it. Let's run with it. My number three is going to be Kelly Slater. Mm-hmm. And I know the only reason it's Kelly Slater in number three right now is because he hasn't officially retired. Mm-hmm. So when that officially happens, I reckon he may get a start in the podium again. Yep. But Kelly Slater, absolute icon of the sport, freak, legend, goat, you name it. He is the Tony Hawk of surfing. He is the Michael Jordan of basketball. He is the Michael Buettner of rugby league. You name it, he's got it covered.
Yep.
Come on, give me something.
Well, you were going so well there, all of a sudden
it went down very, very quickly. My number two, Alex de Minaur. Well done. Beating Rafael Nadal on clay, for starters. Yep. Only the seventh player, I believe, tennis player, to beat both Djokovic on hard court and Rafa on clay court in the same year.
Yep.
So well done to him. He is proven that he, I've got to say, there's a lot of characteristics Leighton Hewitt characteristics in de Minaur and the way he plays, right? Which is great to see. And you've seen that influence from Hewitt, who, you know, looks after the Davis Cup team, etc., etc. And my number one this week, completely off topic, not sport related, but for bravery, courage, professionalism, in what was an absolute horrific situation that took place last week in Bondi Junction, Westfields. Inspector Amy Scott, we salute you. What a monumental act of bravery. The way that she went about her business was unbelievable. And, I'm sure she'll get greater accolades than this.
Probably not.
Probably not. No, she'll get a Order of Australia. She'll get a Purple Heart. But this is this is going on her resume.
Right. Yeah. So she will get plenty more honours, but probably none higher than Buett's
Benny,
number one.
Benny, back in the studio, mate. Can we just make sure that we get this on our podcast and we get it through to Amy Scott at some stage so that she can put it on her resume? But this is again. Let's look at the incident and how it all played out, and you know, thoughts and prayers go to each and every one of those people and they that lost their lives, the family members. You know, that incident just changed people's lives with an instance.
Yeah, we're certainly not trivialising it in any way.
No, not a chance in the world. Like, she was absolutely amazing and phenomenal, and showed, you know, the training, the professionalism. She went from police officer to paramedic to taking down, you know, that lunatic, to then becoming a paramedic again, and then going into police mode to create the crime scene.
Yeah.
Right? It was just all automatic.
Yeah.
So well done to Inspector Amy Scott. Just absolutely phenomenal. We've got to go to the news, mate.
I've got my top three.
My apologies. Yes, of course.
All good, mate. No, that's all right. No, I totally understand. So my number three, Nicola Oleschlager.
Yes.
One of our favourites on the Central Coast. Won the Australian title last week. 2.01 metres, a season best. So with the Olympics less than 100 days away, they're starting to put their squads together. So 19 of athletes gained their tickets last weekend. So well
done. She was one of them. I saw her with a ticket. Yes, fantastic.
Number two, Paddy Cummins, our cricketer, was named Wisden's Cricketer of the Year, which is a worldwide Wisden's most prestigious. First Australian since 2012. And number one, Scotty Scheffler for winning the Masters. So they're my top three.
Well done, Guru. We are going to take a quick break. We're coming into the final half hour. We're here for Chemist Outlet for discount medication. Choose Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day. We'll be back shortly. Talk as much as you want about AFL, mate. Don't worry, mate.
All good. All good. So a couple of points.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
Back from the news and a big show thus far. JP from Chemist Outlet here at Erina Heights. He's done a great job. He joined us in the first hour talking all things rugby league and a bit about the store and what it had to offer. And great little spot here next to IGA on the Central Coast Highway at Erina Heights. So for all your chemist needs, plus they have a whole range of perfumes, makeup,
supplements.
Giftwares, that was the term he used, giftwares.
And supplements galore.
Supplements galore, yep. Yeah. All the big names, anything you need, come on down to the Chemist Outlet store here at Erina Heights. Burko, AFL Thursday night, the Bulldogs, way too good for the Saints. They responded, the Bulldogs, to criticism after the loss to Essendon. And I guess the big question is, will the heat be applied to St Kilda this week?
Yeah, it certainly was. The Bulldogs, they were under the pump after their loss last week to Essendon. The coach was, yeah, selections were questioned. The coach's ability to coach, Bulldogs arguably got a playing list that people, as a top four side, a lot of the experts say, not performing to that at the moment. So they're saying, is he picking the right size? He's left some big names out, giving youngsters a go. So he's trying to transform the list as he goes. But gee, on Thursday night, if they responded in spades, his team. Yeah, they dominated St Kilda right from the start. Aaron Norton, who'd also been criticised whether he should be playing up 40, kicked six goals in the absence of Jamara Ugle-Hagan, who's been their number one forward. He missed for personal reasons. So Norton certainly took advantage of that and kicked six goals. And Bonampelli and Waitman kicked three goals each, so they were dangerous up forward. But Bailey Dahl, one of their defenders who got dropped the previous week, come back in with 39 disposals. So they're way too good for a St Kilda side who Coach Ross Lyons put down. They've had a busy game and travelling schedule he's put down. That may have had a reason for it. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see what heat's applied to St Kilda, because they're also a side that finished in the top eight last week.
Is that a coach clutching for straws when you're using the travel commitment as your reason? Yeah, gotcha. Yes. Okay.
Especially when you have gather round and most sides have actually travelled.
Everybody else is still performing, mate, eh? Yeah, but okay.
The game last night, Essendon, 10-18-78, defeated Adelaide 11-9-75. A game that seesawed all night. Probably Essendon probably had the better of the game, but we're just going to get a little grab now from this, a very controversial end to this game.
Oh, okay.
40 from the Adelaide goal. The dying seconds.
14 seconds.
One forward stoppage to settle it. O'Brien knocked it forward. Tex onto it. They're onto him. Released it in the congestion. They pile in. Bombers players on top of it. Ball it up. Bombers win. A finish loaded with controversy.
Right, so what the controversy was there, Jared Whateley, he was pretty nonplussed about, but a lot of the others were quite staggered a free kick. So the ball's on the ground at the end, and Essendon ruckman Sam Draper has just dived, just laid on the ball. Dragged in and just laid on it.
For how long of a period?
For, it would have been for probably 5 seconds.
Oh.
But in any other game, that's holding the ball.
Right.
But they didn't pay. This happened 20 metres out directly in front of Adelaide's goal. Oh. So instead of paying a free kick, which is a free kick, you know, it's 5 minutes earlier, that's paid a free kick.
Yeah,
but
right.
But it wasn't paid. So it would have been giving Adelaide a shot for goal, because as soon as they blew the whistle, ball up, game over. So the Adelaide Crows players, in particular, Taylor Walker, they were just...
Was there anything said post-match? Or do they tend to steer away from that, the coaches?
The coaches are pretty good in the AFL. They don't go that way. Apart from Brad Scott, who's the Essendon coach, when he was quizzed on that, he says, well, if you want to go down that path, that's fine, but I will bring up another half a dozen instances of the game that weren't paid, if that's what you want to do. We're focusing on the last 14 seconds, which is, and as you rightly say, it's not one decision doesn't cost you the game. I suppose just the when it is and where it is, I suppose that's why it becomes highlighted. But no doubt the AFL umpiring department will come out and...
defend it? No,
and say that, it probably should have been a free kick, but we quickly move on. Yeah, they've got a tendency to do that. Or as Trent Robertson said after the try to win Solomona there, he says, well, we'll come out and we'll give you know, three Hail Marys and we'll all move on.
Yep.
Yeah, so sorry we're wrong. But anyway, a really good round of football this year going on. This round, it's very hard to tip, especially on the back of West Coast Eagles' win last week against Richmond.
Would you say the biggest game this weekend, Carlton versus GWS?
Well, I think you'd go through... we'll go through the list. We've got Collingwood versus Port Adelaide.
Yep.
Which is going to be a cracking out MCG. Carlton versus GWS. Someone mentioned that there's three undefeated sides at the moment.
Yep.
And quite all three could quite possibly be underdogs this week's game.
Is that right?
So Carlton, GWS at Marvel Stadium tonight.
So that's a huge advantage for Carlton just being at Marvel.
Marvel Stadium, yep. Gotcha. GWS undefeated. Brisbane played Geelong.
Yep.
So up at Brisbane. Brisbane have won their last two games. Last year's grand finals are in good form against a Geelong side who's undefeated.
And last year, Brisbane were undefeated at the Gabba.
Gabba. But they've lost two games at the Gabba this year. They haven't won there this year.
Gotcha.
Got the big derby over in Western Australia. West Coast versus Fremantle. These are cracking games, no matter where they are on the ladder. And West Coast, obviously, winning last week certainly adds a lot of more... interesting. This Fremantle have lost their last two games in Adelaide by less than a kick, probably throwing two wins away. So they need to get back on the board.
So it's not a fait accompli. Fremantle aren't a walk-up.
No.
Yeah, right, okay.
Not probably where you consider probably 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Sydney versus the Gold Coast tomorrow, 1 o'clock at the SCG. Gold Coast in good form at the moment, playing all the young kids at the moment, playing four first-round draft picks from last year. Swans should be too good to win.
I'd be interested to see conditions the way they are, you know, with the rain and whatever else. It obviously brings the Gold Coast back in at
exactly.
big time.
Or maybe not, because the Swans are a very good contested side. So,
gotcha, okay.
Yeah, so it's 1 o'clock, so it's not a night game. North Melbourne, Hawthorn, two sides that are yet to taste victory. So one of them will get on the board. So, and the subplot to this is Alistair Clarkson, coach of North Melbourne, used to coach Hawthorn, got effectively sacked to give Sam Mitchell, the coaching job at Hawthorn. So they don't actually like each other either. So they'll be good games coming up. But some other stories during the storylines. Charlie Cameron, the small forward from the Brisbane Lions.
Yes.
Got suspended for a sling tackle. Got 1 week for rough conduct. Got let off. Got reduced to a fine on the good character defence.
Right.
So good character. So
from who?
From the tribunal, they gave him. They put up the good character. So off field, he's a good character, indigenous, and goes around and all that, and yeah, hasn't been suspended before, but the good character. But the thing with Charlie Cameron is he's actually been fined 5 times.
How do you? I don't understand how you can. That seems to be a little bit of bias there. I feel like they've created a rod for their own back here, or people are going to come out with the old. I'm going to run with this one as well.
Well, Chris Scott, well, apparently it's in the tribunal rules. That's one when for you can actually get mitigating and get the sentence downgraded as a good character. Chris Scott come out, and his comment was very good, as to say is that I would be really disappointed if one of my players doesn't get the same rating, because all my players are of good character.
Correct. This is the point
I'm making. So who's going to judge good character?
Exactly right. And this is my point. They have created a rod for their back. You do for one... You then suddenly open this can of worms. I think that is...
And this is like he's got clearly played over 200 games, but he's actually had five fines. So he didn't get suspended, but he's been found guilty of five offences in time. So he hasn't got, that's not a clean record because he hasn't been suspended. He still has been charged. So that certainly created a fair furor over the AFL.
And so, justifiably so, yeah. I just find it ridiculous. You're either suspended or you're not. I know your character is, that's factored in, but come on, not...
But everyone should be a good character if they're playing that game. That's what you want. And the big news there is obviously Nathan Murphy from Collingwood defender. Played in their grand final side last year. He's had to retire at the age of 24 through concussion. So unfortunately, he's just concussion. He couldn't go on anymore. He was advised to retire, and he has done. But the interesting point is the good feel story about this is, at the end of last year, when this was all going, so he got concussed out of the grand final, so he couldn't play. He's had something like 10 concussions.
Yeah.
So he actually really ruled himself out of the grand final the first quarter. He passed the concussion test, but said, no, look, I'm not right. So he subbed himself out. But Collingwood actually extended his contract. His contract expired at the end of this year. So at the end of last year, they extended his contract to the end of 2025, knowing full well that he may not be able to come back and play. But they extended the contract on the basis that they wanted him to be able to make a decision based on his own health as opposed to
the pressure
of contracts.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's guaranteed to get paid his money. So we get a payout of about $1 million out of it. But that's only a small amount given what he would have earned over the over the course of his career.
But well done to Collingwood.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That is well such done. A good to them. And that is really, really good.
Let's talk about good character. There is
that is great, he's very, very good character.
And you know, with all this stuff about, you know, concussion and, you know, the head knocks and the way they've changed the game with the AFL as well, the bumping and all those things, right? Let's bear in mind that these conditions, Nathan Murphy have had 10 concussions, Boyd Cordner, Jake Friend, we've seen other players retire. They might have been pre-existing.
Exactly.
Right? Yep. And playing the game has exacerbated.
Yep.
And thankfully, they've been strong enough, man enough to step back and go and taken the medical advice. The
second player this year, Angus Brayshaw, premiership player also for Melbourne, he retired at the beginning of the year. So it's becoming more prevalent. You now consider it's life after football.
100%.
That's the quality of life.
You're a long time retired, my friend.
Exactly.
A long time retired. You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast. Great rap, Burko. Fantastic, mate, as per usual. Plenty of good action coming up in the AFL this week. Hopefully the GWS and the Swans get the job done. For discount medication, choose Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day. You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast. We'll be back shortly.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
Well and truly on the run home now. You're listening to the Saturdays on the Coast, coming to you live from Chemist Outlet, Erina Heights. JP and his team do a fabulous job out here for all your chemist needs. Supplements, perfume, you name it, he's got it here. It's been a good show so far, mate.
But good, plenty to talk about. Plenty of sport this time of year, isn't it?
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. The AFL, plenty happening there. The NRL overnight, we saw the scores there and had a... in-depth discussion. I do want to touch on the Central Coast Crusaders and how they're going in the NBL One East competition. Their men's currently sitting sixth, 2 wins, 1 loss. Who's the big gun for them at the moment?
Well, at the moment, they've had a very good, big weekend. Last weekend was Robbie Heath.
Yeah.
Robbie Heath there. He was actually the round two player of the week, so he exceptionally done well to them. He just seems to just score the points. There's no doubt about that. He's got 29 points in round one, 28 in round two, and 36 in round three. So they're 2-1. Got the six, but it's the women who are leading the way at the moment. They're 3-0, sitting in third position. They've got two new recruits there, Leilani Mitchell and Michaela Domkins, who've actually come out and really set the basketball court on fire at the moment. Domkins in particular, she's had 3 double-doubles to start the season. So they're doing well, but a big day today at Terrigal Stadium. They take on the Hills Hornets in all five grades, starting with the youth men 2 at 11 a.m. So in 10 minutes' time, they'll be kicking off there. But the women They're at 5 o'clock tonight, and the men at 7 p.m. So they're actually higher on the ladder than the Hills Hornets, but I think it's a bit of a grudge match there. So, so get down there if you're looking for something to do in this bit of rainy weather we've got here at the moment.
Pretty ordinary weather, and we've had the Aussie titles, the Surf Life Saving Championships, taking place up north. Maruchidor, is it up in
Could be, yeah.
Could be. I need to check that out.
Yeah, I didn't check that all the thing I did.
No. But we've had some great results. Yep. Obviously, you know,
356 athletes we sent up there across the youth, the masters, and the opens. So the youth and the masters are completed. The opens will be completed this week. Again, they've had the prelims, obviously, in the last couple of days. But the masters have led the way again. 17 gold, 9 silvers, and 3 bronze. And the youth, we've got 3 golds, 1 silver, and 2 bronze. But in the masters, Paul Lamont. He just continues to rack up gold medals. He got 3 individual golds and got 1 in the pairs as well. So the doubles, whatever they call it in the surf life saving. But he's certainly unbelievable. But that do well. We expect to pick up more medals in the Opens this weekend. So well done with them. 10 clubs represented with all those. So well done to them.
We've always been strong in there, up there, haven't we? And it was between Mooloolaba and Maroochydore.
Yeah, right.
So up and back, forth.
Conditions look really good. I saw some of the highlights. The conditions up there look magnificent.
Mate, I want to touch on our text topic, 0437 736 736. And if you do have any of those highlights or greatest sporting moments you happen to see live, I'm going to throw in a couple here. And I threw in Maurice Green before. I threw in Michael O'Connor. I'm also going to throw in, I become a little bit obsessed with Winks.
Oh, yes. Yes. Right? Yes.
So any race Winks was competing in,
yeah.
I was down at Randwick. I'd go to race. I took my boys. We'd go and have, I'd go get my boys. We'd go get the little blue flag.
Yeah.
And I would go get a race ticket.
Yeah.
I put a little bet on for them.
Yeah.
$5 bet to say that they actually
backed Winks. Yeah.
Backed Winks.
How many people you reckon would have done that?
Oh.
Millions.
Thousands.
Because it was. It was just a thing to do. And you know what? And nothing better when you're cheering because you backed it. Yeah.
Yeah. $5, I got back $6. Well, I didn't get back anything. I kept the ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you look there at Steve, the golf pro, though. It's very similar to Winks, though. His greatest moment was Black Caviar's final race at Randwick, the 2013 TJ Smith Stakes. I watched it again this morning. It was still go good. 25 wins from 25 starts. What an unbelievable horse with Black Caviar. But
You know what? It's funny because, you know, with Winks and Maccabi Diva.
Yep.
Like, we just had, in the last 10 years, these amazing horses that have just done phenomenal records.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And probably records that we may not see beaten again.
They will get beaten. Records are made to get beaten. Broken. So true that. We've got another one, Harry Hudson. He's a regular of ours, so he's been a bit late, but he's also got a new one from the Viduch as well. And they both come up with the 2019 Game 3 State of Origin. 30 seconds to play. Pierce to Turbo to Ferguson to Tedesco, a try, winning Game 3, win the title. The stadium erupted and he's still shaking today.
I'm sure it is. Harry Hudson sending in his, as he does each and every week. We're going to take a quick break, but we're almost getting the wind up from a producer here. So for discount medication, choose Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day. You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast. We'll be back for our last little wrap. See you soon.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
We are well and truly on the run home. Minute left to go. We're coming to you live from Chemist Outlet at Erina Heights. And, Berko, we have to get through these topics because we can't disappoint our listeners. Fire away, my friend.
Righto. Dan the Man, Chris Lynn, 6 onto the roof at the Gabba in BBL 06. Bowler was Sean Tate. That was a huge hit.
See you later, Tatey.
We've got a couple here, both with the Mariners obviously winning the A-League title last year, beating Man City 6-1. How good was that? And then also defeating the Wanderers 2-0 in the 2013 A-League final. One here, strike bowls also went to Lords. Saw Marnus Labuschagne enter the test match as the first concussion sub and then proceed to get hit in the head. First ball by Joshua Archer. Went down like a sack of spuds. And he's gone from strength to strength there. David Warner, 100 before lunch on day one of the test versus Pakistan in 2017. 78 balls. That was a magnificent innings. And I'm going to throw one in as well because Richmond winning the 2017 Premiership. First since 1980. I was there. Really good.
Big thanks to Benny in the studio, Valentine Holmes. See you all next week. Saturdays on the Coast.